If you have your Bibles this morning, I'd like you to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3 here this morning. And if you would, in honor of God's Word, let's stand to our feet. We'll begin verse 1. And I want to read verse 10. And then I'd like to read verse 13 down to verse 17, sort of. Some important verses I want to read. I'm going to preach the whole chapter, hopefully. But just kind of give you a mindset of what we're dealing with as far as Paul is saying. Now, mind you, what Paul says in verse 1 is something of the future. Something that's going to take place in the last days. So, verse 1 of chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." Verse 10. Now this is something Paul was mentioning about something present. "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, in Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but all of them, all the Lord delivered." Verse 13, "But evil man and seducer shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus, and we thank you for the Word of God. Yes. Thank you, Lord, on that day on Straight Street, there in Damascus, or going to Damascus, Lord, we find a one who's the enemy of Christ and the enemy of the church and of God. Lord, you saved Paul. God, he wrote this book. God, this morning we have some insight about what will take place in the last days. And God, how we are to behave and what we need to do. And Lord, how we will survive and how we will excel in these last days. God, you give us the help this morning we need. I pray, Lord, you'd use us for thy glory and for thy honor. It is our burden and our very heart today, God, that we would lift up the name of Jesus, and you'll draw all men unto thee. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I want to preach this morning what to expect in these last days. Also want to preach, if we can get to the second point, is where to examine in these last days. And then lastly, is how to excel in these last days. I believe this morning, I don't believe there's any kind of question about the last days, that the last days are coming, or what to expect in the last days or in these times. The verse 1 says, "Though also that in the last days perilous times shall come." So I want you to know what to expect. Amen. In these times, I don't want you to be alarmed. I don't want you to wake up one day and say, "Man, I didn't know it. We're in the last days." I don't want you to be surprised. I want you to know right now that the last days are going to be what we're about to preach, we're about to say. Now, the day of Paul wrote, and Paul was given by the Holy Spirit of God to tell those people what is going to be going on in the last days. Now, it is vital that you and I would know when the last days are. Amen? We would say this morning, today is not the last days. Well, that's your opinion. And some say, next week will be the last days. But the fact of the matter is, what Paul is about to say, about to give us some information, will give us some clear understanding when the last days are. Now, what is important about the last days? What's important about the last days is when Jesus will return. Amen? And so we find that it might be, it ought to be, very important to you that you may be aware of and you may know when the last days are. Because it's going to affect your life. It's going to affect your family. It's going to affect the world. It's going to affect everything that you've ever known in your entire life when the last days are here. And so it's something that you and I must prepare for. We must know. We must have some sort of idea about those days. I want you to notice, number one, concerning what to expect in these times, is it's going to be furious days. The word furious there would mean, in verse 1, perilous. The word perilous today means dangerous days. There's going to be persecution. Talking about persecution of Christians, amen? A persecution of what's right. There's going to be troubled days. Days that bring trouble. Days that will cause trouble. There will be trial days. Days that will be testing days. And trials and troubles. And be days of danger. Days that you and I as Christians may face some persecution. We might face some trouble and suffering over what we believe and what we do and how we believe and why we believe it. And so we find furious days means dangerous days. It also means difficult days. That word perilous means a difficult day. The word difficult meaning a hard day. So how do we know that we're in these days? How do we know we're in the last times? How do we know that? Well, they're going to be perilous days. They're going to be difficult days. They're going to be hard-to-do days. I don't know. I don't know if you even know that we're in a hard-to-do day. Amen? Hard-to-do. And they also are hard to look upon, or hard to take, or hard to bear, or it also means hard to approach. And so the days that are going to be the last days are going to be difficult days because they're going to be hard days. They're going to be hard to raise children. Hard in our marriages. Hard in our church. Hard in making a living. Hard in paying the bills. Hard in coming up against sinfulness and rudeness and crudeness in life. Hard to even look at it. Hard to even approach it. I mean, listen, hard to watch TV. Hard to listen to the radio. Hard to go to the mall. Hard to go to the public. Difficult days. Always something going on. Always creating and something happening. And so we're going to look at this here. Is that better, Brother
Key? Somebody was having a cow. So we find furious days. We find that that's what we're to expect. They're dangerous. They're going to be difficult. We also know that in the Scripture concerning what to expect, there are going to be final days. We see that in verse 1, it says last days. The word last days means it's going to be the end of the church age. You and I who love church, there's coming a day when church won't be here no more. And it's going to be in the last days. So far we've seen it's going to be dangerous days, and we find that today it's kind of dangerous out there. It's going to be a difficult days, and you find already that life is more difficult than ever. We find that it's going to be the end of the church age. We find that it's also going to be the end of the age of grace. When the last days come, and the end time comes, you'll find the end of age of grace. No more grace. The end of the church age as we know it. The end of the world as you have experienced it. So when the last days come and the end is here, no more church, no more grace, and the world in which you have experienced and loved and cherished and been involved in will never be the same. So we find it to be not only furious days, but final days. We also notice in the Scripture that it's going to be fulfilled days. Paul is saying in chapter 3, in the first part of it, he says, I'm telling you what's going to happen in the last days. Well, I'm here to tell you this morning that we're in the last days. So when Paul wrote the Scripture by the inspiration of God, it was something looking forward to the future. But today, as we read it, it's something that's in the present. He said, "Brother, I don't believe it." Well, listen to what Paul said and what it would be like. So we know what to expect. Because I don't want anybody leaving out of this church this morning thinking that we're not in the last days when we really are. Then I don't want you thinking that we're in the last days when we're really not. So if you listen to the Scripture this morning, maybe the Holy Ghost of God would persuade you in which days in which we live. I want you to notice, number one, concerning what Paul said, that the last days are going to include. It's going to be in society. In society. What will the society be like in the last days? What will be the social media? What will be the very people that will be surrounding? What would it be like in all of the thoughts and the mindsets and the words and the attitudes and the emotions and the feelings of people? Whether they're rich, whether they're poor, whether they're mean, or whether they're nice, or whether they're male, or whether they're female, what will society sound like and be like? Well, it says the first thing I notice, and I believe if you read it the right way, you'll see a progression of what the society will look like in the last days. Number one, I want you to notice, that will be, in verse 2, men shall be lovers of their own selves. Now that is the very top of the list of the society in which we live. If you study anything or know anything, we live in an I society. Amen? We've got iPhones. We've got iPads. Do you think that's just some kind of coincidence? That we're living in an I society and we got I things. I'm sure there's many more things that has I's involved in it. It is a self-loving society. It is a society that you talk about selfies. Everybody likes selfies. Everybody likes phones because all phones have cameras on it. Amen? And everybody loves a picture of themselves. I mean, it just seems like, friend, that self is what we all want. If you ever go to the mall, or if you ever go to the place I go and work out, and when I go work out, there is mirrors everywhere. And I just have a time within me. As I'm on the treadmill, trying to work off the fajita, and trying to get it all back together and put into place. I'll never get there, but I'm trying. And I'm a working and I'm a doing and I'm doing all this stuff right here like this. And boy, when I look up and I see people, they're always like, they're never looking in front of them, finding out where they're going. They're always going like this. Know what they're looking at? Them. I mean, I tell you, it's ridiculous. They love them. How many of them are standing in the mirror and they're going, I mean, they said, I always seem to look behind them on the side where you got a little angle so they can see the backside of them. I mean, they are so much involved. I've seen people come work out and they got 6 inches of makeup on, working out. They come in, they got all dressed, they're all color coordinated. I mean, they are fancy and professional. And when they walk in, they just really make a splash. It's about them. Everywhere you go, it's about them. In your home, it's about you. In your home, it's about your child, and his mind is about him. In relationship, marriage relationship, it's about you. It's only about you. It's where I want to go. It's what I want to do. It's all the wrongs I find in him. It's all the wrongs I find in her. And friend, it ain't me. It's never me. It's everybody else. Amen. In relationships, in work, in church, it's just constantly pointing fingers, pointing fingers, pointing fingers, pointing fingers. You, nobody else have problems but everybody else. There's not one thing you need to correct in your life. There's not one thing you need to straighten up in your life. There's not one thing you need to shut your mouth about. It's everybody else. Because we live in a self-society. It's just about me. It don't matter. Has no idea. I don't care. It's me. And so we find society It begins with loving self. Now, I'm not going to go through every one of these, because if I did, I'd be here till Wednesday. But I want you to notice, when you start loving yourself, you begin... Let me just read the Scripture, then I go back. It says, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves." Now, listen to the progression. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God." Don't that describe the day in which we live? Guess what that means? That means we're in the last days. So Paul wrote it for the future. We're reading it for the present. Friend, that ought to stir the heart to know we've got very little days to go. Listen, friend, our hearts are to be broken over sinners in our home and sinners outside of our home. And this morning, you are to be crying unto God and asking God to fill every pew up at every service so that souls can be saved and born again, because time's running out. And yet we sit on our do-nothings most of the time, drinking our teas and eating our hot dogs and watching our movies, and driving our cars and going to our stores and listening to our music as if we're on a stroll on a beach somewhere and we're in the last days. God, wake us up. God, move in our lives so that we would pay attention to what days we're living in. Here's a progression. You become lovers of self. The next thing you do is you become coveting. You covet everything. Because, see, when you love yourself, everything belongs to you. You have access to everything. And everything that you want, you get. Because we're spoiled, rotten brats. And if you don't get what you want, you throw a little fit. And you get a little mad. And you go sleep on the couch. And you go get in your car and drive off. Or you might hit a door. Or you might hit a car. He might go into a friend's house. He might get a beer. He might smoke a cigarette. He might take a dip. You might get with a woman. He might go to a bar. He might find somebody else that you're not married to. I don't know what you're going to do, but because you can't get your way, because you're coveting, because you love yourself, you find yourself doing wrong things and making bad decisions. And we're living in a day today that coveting is exactly what's going on. I seen that car. I want that car. Oh, I seen that gun. I got 15 guns, but I need another gun. What you are is coveting. And that is not something to brag about. You ought to fall down on your face before God and ask God to forgive you. You say, "Well, you know, I want a new house, and I want the new car, and I want new clothes, and I've got 22 pairs of shoes in my closet, but I need 23. You know what happens when you love yourself? You're coveting. That's what you are. And that's what happens. It says covetous. Then it goes on and talks about once you love yourself, you begin to covet, and then you begin to be proud about it. Yeah, I got 15 guns. I got 40 pairs of shoes. I got 16 cars. I tell you, I've got about 16 suits. I tell you what, friend, I'm glad about it. You start bragging on it. You start telling everybody. You start talking about everything. You know why? Because you love yourself and you begin to covet everything. Then when you covet everything, you begin to become braggadocious over it. Think, is that what's going on in our society today? Absolutely. I mean, we find Paul being perfect and clear about us being coveting, and then we've been proud of it, and then we boast over it. Not only are we proud of what we got, and we coveted, we got what we wanted, but we go about boasting, telling others about what I do have. Well, I've got this, I've got that, I got this. Do you have that? Oh, I don't have that, but do you have this? How about this over here? You got that? And we find a world we live in today that's full of self, that's full of covetousness, that goes around bragging on it and boasting. We also find that because of that, they disregard authority. The Bible says disobedient to parents. They just don't like authority. In fact, we find a society today that because of being raised in homes that does not honor authority, that does not make authority, they find themselves to be without authority. And now once you're out of authority, you become the authority. And so we find in our society today that authority is offensive. In other words, why many people don't like the preaching that I preach is because it makes them feel uncomfortable and they feel like I have an authority of speaking what I'm speaking, so it makes them upset. I mean, friend, listen, nobody wants to be told what to do any longer. Nobody says that you have restrictions. Nobody says you got limits. Nobody likes anybody to box them into an area. Everybody says, I want to go where I want to go, say what I want to say, and do what I want to do. And nobody tell me anything different. That's an authority problem. And we're in a society today that disobedient of parents. How many people in this room right now, could you look back at your children right now and you would say to your children, if you could say to your children, and they would listen, they said, listen, I haven't taught you that away and I haven't told you that away, and what you're being right now is disobedient to me. Don't tell me that there's nobody in this room that look back at their children and say those things. The bottom line to every one children that we've ever taught up in the house of God and told them about Jesus Christ and told them how to live and what to walk and who to serve, today they're not doing it because they're disobedient. That's the society we're living in today. Disobedient. We're finding disobedience because of authority in our home. God has placed the man over the woman. God has placed the man the authority of the home. Can I say this to you, dear women, dear ladies? Next to God is your husband. Do you hear what I said? You have God here. And next to God, which means the next one below God, is your husband. Not your children. If you take your children rather than your husband, you're wrong with God. You'll not have a marriage that way. You'll not have any kind of peace in your home. You'll not have any kind of God in your home. Now, you can fake out us today, but you're not going to fake out God. What's wrong with a lot of our homes today is the women do not want to put themselves in the place of a man's authority. And what's wrong with our homes today is men are mouse and they whip around because they love their lives and love themselves before they love their wives and children and won't stand up and be a man in the home and lead and rule and be the authority. So the wives look at them and say, you're a joke. But that doesn't relieve you from the responsibility of authority. Children in homes today, because daddy don't know how to lead and mama don't know how to follow, they're a lost cause. And they grow up being their own authority. We read it in the scripture. It says, because there was no king in Israel, everybody did that was right in their own eyes. And that's what's happening in our homes today. All the children just doing what's right in their own house because there's no king in the house. There's nobody like a queen following the king. Dear God, help us this morning. We want to do all that we do. We want to live a little joyous life. But friend, we got to understand we're in the last days. Paul said in the world, they're going to love themselves. There's going to be covetous. There's going to be a boasting about it. They're going to be proud of it. And then there's going to be a disregard of authority. You can't break the authority. We find there in the next scripture there in chapter 3, verse 3, it says, without natural affection, a truce breakers, unresponsible. See, that's the days we live today, Paul says, they're unresponsible. What is a truce breaker? A truce breaker is one who would tell you he's going to do something, he's going to be something, he's going to be there, he's going to be one who gives you his word. and tells you that I am going to perform this task, I am going to be at this time, I am going to do what I say that I do, and he doesn't do it. It's called a truce breaker. And this world are full of people who do not keep their word, who do not do what they say they're going to do, they do not finish the task, and they do not care. That's our world today. You can't find good quality work anymore. You can't hardly find anybody that's going to keep their word anymore. Friend, if you're a Christian this morning and you're in that category, you ought to fall down to God today and repent. There are not be in the house of God any truce breakers. That's why when I go talk to people about the Lord, they say, I'll be in church on Sunday. I said, you going to tell me a lie? Because the world's good about lying. You're telling me you're going to be in church on Sunday? Are you telling me the truth? They just look at me most times. They say, well, I try to get there. I said, well, that's better. Don't tell me you're going to get here and you're not going to show up. But that's what the world's truth is. So we find a society loving self, and then they get covetous, they get proud of it, then they get boastful of it, they disregard authority, they're unresponsible, and the next thing you know, they become the authority. The Bible says in verse 3, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. You'll find that now that they become to a place in their life whenever they start correcting the right. Those that are doing good, they don't like. I mean, those that go to church and those that love God and those who don't have sex outside of marriage and those that will be pure and those that don't drink alcohol, those that don't smoke and those who are not homosexuals and those that don't have abortion and those that don't live an evil, wicked life. And friends, people of the world make fun of you. You're a virgin? We're in 2015, boy. You mean you've never been drunk before? You're a mama's boy. You are naive, little girl. Man, this is what it's all about today. You ain't never smoked no pot? What? You're kidding me. Oh, yeah, no, I don't do that. What do you mean you don't do that? Everybody does that. And those who don't do that are nerds. And those who don't live like I live, and those who don't do what I do, and those who don't think like I think, them people are idiots. See, they're despisers of those that are good. Isn't that our society? The better you live, the gooder you get. And I know that ain't even a word, but it sure sounded good to me. The worst people think of you. It's like, man, let me be a pedophile, or let me be a rapist, or let me be a murderer, or let me be a thief, or let me be something of a drug addict, or let me be an alcoholic, and let me be something that's awful society so that you accept me. Because when I do right and live right, become right, people make fun of me and look at me like I'm stupid and retarded and don't got sense. Oh, don't you see our society? Despisers of good. I'm just telling you what the Bible says this morning. Don't get mad at me. Paul wrote it in the inspiration of the Holy Ghost that in the last days this was going to be our world. Oh, then we find that they are untrustworthy. Look there in verse 4. Traitors. Untrustworthy. I mean, they say they love you. You better watch out, man, because here comes a double-edged sword right in your back. Those that say you love your man, you better watch them double time. They say, oh, listen, I'm your friend. Oh, that's a key word to not let them in your home. Hey, I got your back. Oh, that's another case. That's another red flag. Traitors. I mean, it's untrustworthy. He says, petty, high-minded. Just people who are untrustworthy. People who are just full of themselves. Heady and high-minded means proud and proudful. Oh, you go on down and it's about having fun. So we find there in verse 4, it says, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. I mean, it's just about fun. That's all, isn't it? We're just having fun. I mean, it's not about who wins. It's not somebody loses or somebody wins. It's just having fun. I mean, it's not loving God to the place where you don't have fun. I mean, come on. Now, what is life without fun? I mean, listen, when we come to church, I'm not going to go to a church unless I can have fun. Yeah. Hey, Pastor, for my children, what do you have for my children that they can have fun? Hey, Pastor, do you have places where we can have the divorcees here? We can have the addicts here. We can have the abandoned here. We can have the depressed here. What are you going to do so that all these people can have fun? The society today is about fun. It's about fishing and hunting and driving and sporting. And it's about dancing. It's about partying. It's about having a good old time. You think about people, they're waiting for Friday to do what? Have fun! I can't wait till Friday. Fun! Oh, Saturday morning it ain't too far when I'm puking my guts up and I can't remember how I got where I got. I don't know what I even done and I lost everything I had, but I can't wait till next Friday for some more fun. Got three babies. I don't know how that happened, but it was fun. I woke up in somebody else's bed, but it was fun. I don't have no money, but buddy, it was fun. Pleasures. Lovers of pleasures. More than lovers of God. Where did that start at? Loving self. Being covetous, everything's mine, and then bragging about it, boasting over it. Then disregarding authority, then being unresponsible, and then being the authority yourself, and then being full of yourself, being heady and high-minded. Oh, and then you come to the place where, listen, it is about fun. This morning, I'm not going to tell you we're in the last days, but I'm going to tell you the Word of God says we're in the last days. How do you know we're in the last days? Because I just described it. You see, the lovers of pleasures are more lovers of God because church is an event. It's an event. As if you go to watch a basketball game, or if you go to a concert, or if you go down here to some boat show, all those are events. So in the mind of the world, the church is an event. We go to church like we go to the show. It's an event. It's something that's penciled in our calendar. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. You see, we go to church, this world goes to church. This world is a churchy world. They're not against church. Tonight, or this morning, you can look all over the country. Thousands and millions of people are in church. We're not talking about unchurched people. We're talking about the world that's in church. But here's the problem. They're lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And that's why when they sit back and listen to a preacher, he's got to present pleasure rather than Word of God. And as long as you keep on singing pleasure, you know, singing that keep your foot going, keep you rocking and rolling. To be very honest with you, if I loved rock and roll before I'm saved, and I still love rock and roll after I'm saved, I'd get saved. You say, well, I like to do this. I like that 89.3 or whatever that station is from Hades. That rock and roll, because it says Christian. Rock and roll. If I like country and western before I was saved, and I still like the country and western tune and value and passion of it, and I just put Jesus' words in it, I'd get saved. You see, friend, the pleasures of this world is what this world is. People who are lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God will do everything and anything and make God an event rather than make God their Lord. That's what's happening in our churches today. It's events. That's why we have it one time a week in the majority of churches today. There's a guy who came by the other day and he said to me, he said, "Brother Larry," he said, "you're the only church in this area that's open on Sunday night." That floored me. I never even thought about that before. Have we become an oddity? Have we become something that not much is out there anymore? I never thought coming to church on Sunday night would be odd. I never thought my entire life that coming to church on Sunday night would be something that we're not doing any longer. What is going on? What is happening? Can I give you a little clue? We're in the last days. We're in the end of times. Oh, that's in the society. Man, I got so much time. Won't you notice in religion, he talks about, not only does Paul address the age of society in his last days, or the fulfilled days, but he begins to talk about religion. What is the church going to be like in the last days? Well, number one, I want you to notice, he says in verse 5, he says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. We find that religion today is a form. In other words, it has the sight of godliness. It has the sounds of godliness. And it has the sense of godliness. But it's missing the Spirit, which is the power. You see, many, many churches, and it may be this church, I pray that it's not, that when you go to church, you've got the sense of a fun, joyous, pleasure atmosphere. I mean, you walk people, you see people come in, they're just wearing whatever. They're doing whatever. I mean, there's no way of doing it. And you find people come in and they got the little section they sit and they got this going on, you got that going on, and then this music comes up and all this music is loud and it's got smoke that comes behind it and it's got this all kinds of lighting that takes place and you got all fire sometime and you got all kinds of people. And the people who come up there are dressed just casual as if they're going to down there to some place to eat, you know, and so they come up and they look like just casual people, and they've got the, some of them have even earrings on, and they've got the little long hair, and they're looking, the guys look pretty, and so they got up there, and they're very professional in what they do, and they got their things going in the way of band, in the way of, so people come and think, man, this is a good church to come to. It's jiving. I mean, listen, it's got it going on here. I mean, listen, boy, this is a nice place to be. I mean, if you here over here is a homosexual section, and over here is a beer drinking section, and over here is a drug section, over here is a prostitute section. You say, "Brother, you're kidding me. Won't you go down there to one of them churches on Sunday night? Not Sunday morning, because God be in yours. If you go Sunday night, they're not going to be there, by the way." So if you go on internet like I do, because what I'm preaching is not something that I'm just guessing. I listen to a lot of preaching throughout the week on everybody else's preaching. And I'm watching and seeing what's going on in everybody else's church. And we've got a weird church. Because we're not close to what they are. But I'll tell you what they have, though. They have the farm of godliness. They're playing that part. They got it all situated. They got it all down. And they come in with all kind of friendliness. They come in with all kind of smile on their face. I mean, they'll hug your neck. And they'll hug your wife, men. I don't appreciate that. I mean, listen, friend, they'll do everything. They have a form of godliness. But when they get up there, they'll sing for about an hour, almost 50 minutes they'll sing. And you get jammed out. And then the little preacher comes up behind them, and he preaches for about Well, I can't say preach. He teaches for about 15 minutes. Service is over, and they go back to the singing. And they start singing these songs that they repeat themselves. Vain repetition. They say the same thing. It's said over and over and over and over and over and over until you decide that it's time to do something. And finally the service is over. And you go home. They have the farm, but they don't have no power. You know what my heart today is burdened over? That we don't have no visitors today. I know we got visitors, but they're not like visitors. The Franks. Y'all are part of us. But my heart tonight is breaking. It's going to break. Until we bring in sinners. Lost people. Until we've come to the place where we stop being the farm and we become what God would have us to be. I believe every service we're to have somebody come through that door that needs Christ. And everybody in this room ought to be praying for that end. I'm not talking about just throw it out there when you've got the now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Bring some visitors in. I'm talking about get God, say, God, give me a burden for sinners. Because people are in farms and they're not in Christ. We as a church, I believe we have the right message. We've got the right book. We've got the right preaching. You can have a better preacher and you can have a better member, but we've got everything else that's necessary to see people get saved and born again. And friend, we've got to come to the place where we've got to understand we're in the last days and the church is in the form of godliness and you and I cannot be part of it from such turn away, but we can reach them for Christ. God burden our hearts. But you know, if you can't get to church, you're not going to have a burden for those who come to church. Oh, we find they possess no power. But look there in verse 7. He says, ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of truth. I'm probably going to stop on this point because there's not much further I can get except this thought. Look at chapter 4, verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust, desires, feelings, shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. Now what's so important about that with our verse that says ever learning? Well, can I just give it to you? The church in the last days will be teaching churches. Teaching churches. That's all they'll do. They'll just teach. Now, Brother Larry, what does it mean to preach? Does it mean you preach because you move around? Is that preaching? Does it mean you preach because you sweat? Does it mean you preach because you get loud? Does it mean that you preach because you raise your voice and you put down your voice and you do that kind of stuff? No. What does it mean to preach? Well, in order to come to the knowledge of truth, the Bible says that we preach the cross unto those that perish. So when that says? So what is the preaching of the cross to those that are perishing without knowledge of the truth? Right? And so the Bible says that in the last days they will ever learning. Unable to come to the knowledge of truth. Unable to be saved. Let me tell you what's going on. You can go from the highest of all heights of all churches that you want to talk about today. You can talk about all the famous preachers that we have. You can talk about the preachers in this area. You can talk about churches that are big and churches that are this, that, and the other. And this is what you're going to find by the majority of every one of them. Is whenever that pastor and I can't say preacher, when that pastor gets behind that pulpit, he teaches. They call it preaching, but it's teaching. You know what teaching does? And teaching is necessary. Teaching gives you knowledge. It gives you understanding. For example, if I would say to you that Jesus healed the lame, you say, okay, I didn't know that, but since you taught me that, now I know that. Okay? So I know, have that's some knowledge I have now. I've got some understanding. Jesus walked on water. Jesus died, was buried, and rose the third day. I've got that. I understand that. That's some knowledge that I have now. And so, as a teacher will present to you, which you should, a teacher is one who takes the Word of God and he line upon line, precept upon precept, he studies to show thyself approved, he breaks it down, he gets it all in order, he presents it to you as a document, as something that God's given him to give to you in the way that you can learn. 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 Pastors are standing behind the pulpit and everybody's learning. Everybody's knowing more than they've ever known before. Everybody's growing in their mind. Everybody's growing with their intellect. Everybody's growing and they're knowing more stories and they're knowing more of God's Word, and they're knowing of things that took place, of the miracles, the signs. They're knowing of prophecy. They're knowing of things that's going to take place now and things that could change. They're learning how to be good husbands and learning how to be good wives and how to be parents and how to take care of your money and how to be a good steward of God and how to be a good church member. And they're learning, they're learning, they're learning. We've got more tapes. We've got more videos. We've got more internets. We've got more churches. We've got more books. We've got more seminaries. We've got more theologians than ever and ever and ever we had before. Everybody's learning. You know why? Because everybody's teaching. But what's going on? What's happening? Well, this is what's happening. God's chosen the foolishness of preaching. And preaching is this. Preaching as one who is an herald of the King. A message from God through the herald. And he is proclaiming exactly what God told him to proclaim. Now, in this proclamation, there's no room for debate nor discussion. There's no room at all for any type of coming about and saying whether it is or it isn't. It's a proclamation from the herald of the King telling you what God thus saith. Now, when that's being preached, at the end of what the herald says, he brings you to a place, you either got to receive it or reject it. Either you got to obey it or disobey it. Either you're going to say yes or you're going to say no. That's the definition of what preaching is. You know what our churches today are lacking? Preaching. You can go to teaching all day long. All day long. Dumb dogs that won't bark. The people requiring smooth things, and they're giving them smooth things. You know what's going to be happening in our last days? How we know it's the last days? Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. There'll be a multitude of people in churches learning, but not saved. And I was going to tell you today how I feel about churches today. I believe the majority of churches, 80% of those people are lost. I'm just telling you the truth. You can't live like they live. And you can't do as they do. I'm doubting even preachers being saved in these churches. You can't stand up in front of people, in front of God, and not preach God's Word, but just teach it. And never give an invitation. Never bring somebody to the place of where they got to make a decision. And walk out of there. I was telling Brother Jimmy today, what are they doing? I mean, listen, I work 50 or 60 hours a week. I am there every day doing this, what I ought to be doing is way of making a living. This is what God called me to do, but that's the way I make my living. And these preachers who don't work as far as a job, they preach one time on Sunday morning. I preach three times a week. They preach one time and don't work and make hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. What do they do with their time? And they get up there and teach. Would to God that I would have all week long to preach three messages and not have to work 50 hours somewhere else and asking God for the power of God on my life. I would probably die with a heart attack. What's wrong with our society today? We're in the last days. How come? The preachers are not preaching. And when they do have opportunities to preach, they teach. Poor people. You know what's wrong with America? Preachers. That's what's wrong with America. You know what's wrong with our churches? Preachers. Come on, preachers! Get up and preach! Oh, they're never changing. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times shall some depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. You know what they're saying? They're saying that those people have their faith is worthless. Friend, that's exactly what takes place. Look at chapter 3, verse 8. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Worthless faith. Useless faith. Well, this morning, what are we going to do with the message this morning? Either we're going to be of this world and the description of it this morning, or we're going to be different. I haven't gotten to the place where it talks about the Christian, but I have gotten to the place about it talks about religion. If all you want religion is to have the form of godliness and the power not and deny the power thereof, or if you just want to ever learn and have not the knowledge of God, well then, friend, you probably won't last long around here. But friend, if you want to serve God, you want God to use you with all His glory and all His might, and you want to be real and genuine for the cause of Christ, friend, we've got to recognize we're in the last days. As we stand to our feet and our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed,
I guess our hearts ought to be broken this morning. I guess this morning we ought to be touched by the times in which we live.